The Mets may not have won yesterday's Game 2 against the Brewers, but according to Ben Cafardo, it was the most watched Game 2 of a wild card series ever. So congratulations to the Mets and the Brewers. You know what makes me laugh? I see the number. The number is so small compared to the NFL.
What was it?
What would you think it is? It's a wild card series, so it's kind of a newer thing, obviously. It is the most watched Game 2 of a wild card series ever. Obviously, the wild card series has only been around for a couple of years.
I'm going to go 2.6 mil.
No, better than that. 3.7 mil.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tiki's
not
laughing.
Not a ton.
Tiki's laughing. Tiki's like, I'm going to call the third game on CBS in the NFL, and it's going to triple that.
By the way, up against the Mets potentially Sunday.
Yeah, if the Mets win tonight, fingers crossed, the Mets are going up against the Giants at the exact same time on the... No, not the same family, right? Because you're doing the Giant game, and it's on CBS.
Right. Yeah. So what game... That'll be game...
Two. Game two of Mets-Phillies would be on at 4 o'clock on FS1 versus Giants-Seahawks at 425. Yeah. Well, we'd get a better number.
Giants.
By a lot.
More people here, Tiki, that day.
Yeah, no, I agree. Well, let's hope that's a scenario that we can ask Loogie to get the numbers on, because that means the Mets are still playing. Obviously, the Mets need to win tonight. It's Cinco time.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere. All right, tonight's the night. Mets game three, do or die. I can't do this.
What do you mean you can't do this?
It wouldn't be right. I think it's only right on a night like this. The prophet of positivity.
I believe in positive Tommy.
Gives the Mets fans a Cinco as we lead into game three.
Wow, you're rescinding
your
throne?
You got something for us, power of positivity?
Sure do, guys. I have the top five reasons you should be positive about the Mets tonight.
Oh,
are we ready?
Yes.
Here we go.
Number five.
Number five is Francisco Lindor, your National League MVP, a guy that has been there every single time we as Met fans have needed him, whether it's been at the plate, whether it's been in the field, on the bases. Francisco Lindor has led us to this point on the field, and I have full trust in Francisco Lindor.
Sean, are you still getting paid today? Getting lazy, giving Loogie your
this
gig?
This is not lazy. This is only right.
All right, go to number four.
Here we go.
Number four.
It's Pete Alonso. The time is now. Kendrick, one of our great callers, calls him John Cena. His time is up. His time is now. It is time for Pete Alonso to deliver in the clutch tonight. And I believe, positive Tommy believes, Pete Alonso will come through with the Mets tonight. With a big hit.
So far, like, number five, totally good. You should trust Francisco Lindor. He's been an MVP. But your number four was just a threat, like I did. You better hit. That's what number four was. It wasn't Pete's going to hit. It was no reason why Pete was going to hit. It was merely regurgitating what we're all saying, which is, you better hit, bro.
Well, if you listen back to our show on the free Odyssey Rewind app, I said Pete Alonso will go 3-for-4 with a big three-run homer, and he will do that.
Number three.
No team in the Major League Baseball all year long has had more gut-punching losses than the Mets. They've been here before. They have the experience. No team is more equipped for this moment, this spot, after a bad loss than this Mets team. They've always answered the bell. They will answer the bell again tonight. All right.
Number two.
Thought I'd get a little rebuttal there.
We're listening. I'm listening to your positive prophet.
Evan is not happy with you, Sean. Number two.
That's not true.
Is the power of positivity. Evan, I want you to stand up right now.
Okay,
you
I'm standing
need to stand
up. I'm going to do that. Hold on.
Here we go. The power of positivity.
I'm stuck in a wire. Please give me a... Okay, I'm good now.
Here we go.
Yes.
All right, here we go. Yeah. Oh, Met fans! Don't you dare be sour! Clap for your positive Tommy Mets and feel the power!
What am I listening to?
What am I supposed to do?
A positivity.
I don't know what just happened.
Is that an imitation of somebody?
It's a new day for the Mets.
I'm having
number one.
Why did I just stand up? Just
because I wanted you to feel the moment here.
I can sit down again?
Yes. And number one is positive, Tommy. I've led us to this moment. I have not let you down before.
You made yourself number one.
I've led us all the way here. I will lead us to where we need to be. That is your Cinco de Fivo.
Regrets, I have a few.
You can't make yourself number one.
Sure can.
You're telling Met fans driving home from a hard day of work, don't worry, the Mets are advancing because of me. And by me, I mean you.
I gave you three play. I gave you one player, two player, and the entire team. So I gave you everybody.
I think that was very weak.
Yeah.
I must stand it. Thank you, Tiki.
Yeah.
For
I thought there would be like intangible reasons.
Yeah, there was nothing.
Oh, I'm not an intangible X and O's guy. That's boring.
The relative humidity was going to drop at some point. And then,
yeah.
I don't know.
Scoring
Pete Alonso is
going to
hit a pop fly. It's going to somehow miraculously clear the fence in dramatic fashion. And something like that.
I thought he was going to say, like, Tobias Myers, his girlfriend, cheated on him in high school. This is going to bring up bad memories. She's actually going to flash him right before the game. Something of that nature.
Let's get that on camera. Number two, though, what the hell was number two? What was that?
I don't remember what number two
was. You had to stand up. He did some kind of
weird...
He
did some wrestling angle with the New Day, the most overrated tag team in wrestling history.
Oh, okay. That was really relatable. Okay.
Oh, that's what that was.
Yeah, it was very weak.
I still don't know what it is.
It disappointed me. Can I tell you, going into this game, a real tangible thing that scares the crap out of me. A very tangible thing. And I want to involve all of the teams in this area. This is not about me. This is about everybody.
Yes. Tell us with bated breath.
Okay. Are you mocking me, too?
No. Maybe a little.
Maybe a little bit. I want to take you back to the New York Knicks against the Indiana Pacers in Game 3 of the Eastern Conference semifinals.
Yes.
I was sitting there on Friday night. You remember that game?
Yep.
The Knicks had a golden opportunity to go up 3-0, and they failed, and they missed their opportunity. And while you walked away from that game saying, wow, they were shorthanded, it's okay, they missed a moment. End of story, they lost to the Pacers in 7. I want to take you back to the New York Rangers against the Tampa Bay Lightning in the 2022 Eastern Conference Finals, with the Rangers up 2-0 and with a lead in the second period of Game 3. They blew that game. They never recovered. They lost that series to Tampa. I want to take you back to Game 3 of the 2021 Eastern Conference Semifinals between the Brooklyn Nets and the Milwaukee Bucks. Nets are up 2-0. Golden opportunity to go up 3-0. Final minute of the game. Bruce Brown, Joe Harris, missing shots. The Nets never recovered fully. They lost in 7. I want to take you back to Game 2 of the 2006 NLCS. We all remember Game 7. What about Game 2 when the Mets had a lead? They were about to go up 2-0. And then Scott Spezio against Guillermo Moda happened. They never fully recovered. They were playing from behind. They lost the series in 7. There are moments in a series, even a short one like this, where it was there for you.
Right.
You had it and you blew it. And while we may remember years from now tonight's game, just like we remember Game 7 Mets Cardinals, just like Net fans remember Game 7 against the Bucks and Kevin Durant's foot, and Knicks fans may remember the injuries of Game 7 at home, sometimes earlier in a series, you blew your chance. And last night felt to me like a blown chance. It felt like the Rangers in 22. It felt like the Knicks in 24. It felt like the Nets in 21. It felt like the Mets in 06. And that's what scares me.
Right, but the reality is, it's still in front of you, though.
It is.
You still have the opportunity right in front of you. And look, you need guys to play at a heightened level. You need guys to play with a sense of urgency. You need mistakes not to happen early so things don't get crooked on you. But it's still here.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to look back on it, like you are with the Knicks, as we talked about this earlier, not on air, but off air. When you look back at that Knicks series or the Nets series against the Milwaukee Bucks, where the opportunity was right there, not to deliver the knockout blow, but give yourself an insurmountable, at least perceptually, insurmountable advantage. And the Mets obviously could have done that and just gone on to the next round yesterday, but it's still here. It's still in front of them.
Yeah.
And so you can't even worry about those things. The only thing you got to do is win one game.
Well, I want to post myself and toast myself because I want to read an old tweet from myself on June 13th, 2021.
Okay.
Game 3 in Milwaukee will haunt our dreams forever. And that was the game I just referred to with the Nets. So even while, it's still right in front of you, you're still up 2-1, it did haunt your dreams.
Right.
And I kind of have this sick feeling, because I want to be positive. I want to believe, because one of the things Loogie said that I do believe, of the five things of his very selfish list that he put together.
I believe in positive Tommy.
The one thing he said that rings true with me is, don't you trust this team? Look at the way this team has responded every time they've been punched in the face. It's a great point, it's a true point.
You should trust this team.
I should.
Because of every opportunity where they've had to be bad or miss it, they've actually had done it.
I agree. They've responded every time.
They've responded.
Look at the ultimate example being game 161 against Atlanta. And that's true. And that's the thing I tell myself. Can the Mets really let their season end like this? Could the Mets really let this magical little fun season they've had end in a game 3 loss in the first round to the Brewers? That just doesn't feel real.
No.
And if that happens, he can spin it however he wants. We are going to be massively disappointed. I don't know if we're ever going to be able to look back at this season with such joy and happiness. Like, it was there for them in game 3. They had a lead in the 8th inning.
Right.
It was, they were 6 outs away from going to the National League Divisional Series to at least get a crack at the Philadelphia Phillies.
I swore I'd see Edwin Diaz. I did.
Well.
Just because you called it.
Let's see if we see him tonight with a lead.
I mean, you have to.
With a lead. They may never have a lead. I mean, it's no guarantee.
No, yeah, you're right.
But I mean, we will see Edwin Diaz tonight. You're right. Like, they could be down 9-0. He'll come in the game just because, hey, the season's on the line. But the question is he in the game with a lead? Is he in the game with a chance to send the Mets to a divisional series for the first time in 9 years? But I got to tell you, I'm very, very nervous right now. And the other thing is Carlos Mendoza is about to manage like he's never managed before. Terry Collins is not a guy that, I think he was a good Met manager, but I was very tough on him.
Mm-hmm.
I was very tough on him.
Why?
I disagree with a lot of the moves he made.
In real time.
Yeah, real time.
Not in retrospect, in real time.
No, real time. I was tough on Terry Collins. But Terry Collins, I give immense credit to. I thought the clinic he put on in Game 5 of the 2015 NLDS was one of the great managerial clinics you'll ever see. Because game 5s, in this case game 3, winner take all game, they're very tough games to manage because there is no tomorrow.
Yeah.
You're literally managing with no margin for error. So why is it difficult? Here's why it's difficult. If Jose Quintana puts the first two guys on base in the bottom of the first inning, do you get your bullpen warmed up?
I wouldn't, but I mean, you probably have to.
You have to. What if he gives up a 3-run home run and then another guy gets on base? You can't let things slip away.
Yeah, but you also, you just want him to settle down a little bit.
Well, go back to Luis Severino, not with the Mets, but with the Yankees in that Minnesota wild card game in 2017. He came out in the first inning. And Aaron Boone was right because it was a winner-take-all game and he couldn't mess around. And Chad Green made some of the biggest pitches of his career, of his life, early in that game because Joe Girardi knew it's a winner-take-all game. Terry Collins, brilliantly, before we knew Jake was Jake, we didn't know Jake was Jake.
Yep.
We had no idea. He trusted Jacob deGrom against that Dodger lineup as he ran into trouble early in a winner-take-all game. I will raise my hand and admit, I was pissed at Terry Collins. Get the pen up. Get him out. Jake doesn't have it. And Terry was so freaking right, man. He stuck with him, and he put together one of the ballsiest performances in the history of the New York Mets. How do you handle tonight, Carlos? Because Jose Quintana deserves the baseball. He's on the mound. What if he's in trouble in the first inning? How quickly do you go to the bullpen? How quickly do you call David Peterson?
Right.
How quickly do you go to one of your A relievers because the game's on the line in the third inning? It is one of the most difficult games to manage. Because you're right. You want to let a guy settle down.
Yeah.
But you don't have time.
Yeah, you can't allow it to get away from you before you even have a chance. That's the challenge. And it's funny because with Luis Severino, we just saw him. It felt like, man, this thing's going to get away from him. But he settled down.
And if that was a game, winner-take-all game, does he get the opportunity to settle down?
I don't know.
I think the answer is no.
Probably not.
I think you manage differently when there's that kind of urgency, and that's what makes it so difficult because Mendy got rewarded because he had to be patient. He really didn't have a choice.
No.
On a night like tonight, for both managers, there's no time. You don't have time.
Right.
You can't afford to wait one batter too long. It's a very tough game to manage. This is a real test for Carlos Mendoza, and I hope he can channel his inner Terry Collins.
Nervous yet?
Very nervous.
Mm.
Yeah? Are you confident at all? It's Gage Evan here with 2 hours out.
I know.
60, talk through your feelings.
60-40 negative. That's where I'm at.
It's not
complete negative. It's 60-40 negativity.
Were you this 60-40 ahead of Game 3 versus San Diego 2 years ago?
No, I was 90-10 negative. They were done. I knew they were done. I knew they were cooked, even after winning Game 2. Sal and I met out right before the game. We were outside. I think we both said the same thing. They got no shot.
And that was a home game.
So that is very different. I was 90-10 they were going to lose. Right now, I'm about 60-40 they're going to lose, which for me, Tiki, is probably pretty positive.
Right.
Given positive Evan.
Yeah.
You are not positive Evan. I was just waiting for the negativity to start to seep in. It finally got here. It took 3 hours.
Yeah.
But it's here. I feel it now.
But you don't think 60-40 negative is actually positive?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
Hey, look, you 60-40 negative positive Evan for positive Tommy?
Not really, dude. Plus, I think you have 100 already on the Brewers money line. Already, you got $100 on.
100?
Well, I don't want to talk money, but you have money on the money line already for the Brewers, and you'll be pumping that all night.
Yes, yes. I did that last night, too.
Your emotional hedge fund.
Oh, my emotional hedging is going to get nuts. And there's no question. There's going to be a heavy dose of emotional hedging tonight.
You are a sad individual.
Why? If I do this in the regular season, why would I not do it with your season on the line?
I just feel like here, karmically, in an elimination game, it's bad.
Okay. Well, you did it for the Rangers, so you know what's going on.
Oh, stop it. I didn't do it for the elimination game.
Oh, okay. That makes it okay.
Look out for earwax tonight.
Let's get to some of your phone calls. Earwax. You're talking about Joe Musgrove?
Yeah.
How about him getting hurt last night, leaving that game early?
How about it?
That was crazy. Mike's in Pompton Plains. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Yo.
Good. Listen, Tiki, I heard you earlier, right? You're talking about the golf reference with Pete Alonso.
Yes.
The golf ball is not moving. That swing has to be perfect every single time.
No, you're right.
I can't get in Pete's head, but I'm going to tell you what he's doing wrong. Stop swinging at breaking pitches in the dirt. Stop swinging at what?
That right. Seems so simple, though.
I know.
Yeah. Hey, Pete, stop swinging at crappy pitches.
Yeah, of course.
Once you do that, everything will be okay.
No problem.
I don't actually think that's his main issue. I think his main issue is there have been so many pitches down the middle that Pete has missed on.
Yeah.
So many pitches that, let's say, a year ago, Pete deposits in the left field seats that this time around, he's fouling off. I think that's part of the big problem.
Why is that? Is that a different launch angle?
That's where I can't tell you. The only thing I know about hitting is I can't hit. I mean, it's true. I'm no professional hitter. I'm just noticing that he's missing a lot of cookies that in the past, Pete would deposit up the alley in left center field. Bill is in Torrington, Connecticut. How are you, Bill?
Hey, what's up, Evan? How you doing, Tiki?
What's up, dude?
Woogie.
What's up?
I have a big bet going. I need the Mets to come up to win tonight. And now after hearing positive Tommy's chart earlier, I'm not positive at all about the game at all.
It went backwards.
Positive Tommy screwed me, okay, guys? That's all I got to say.
I think he said positive Tommy screwed him. Yeah, you didn't deliver on the list, bro. You needed to do a better job. You missed your moment.
I thought the list was great. So what does he need, another leg to hit to win a parlay?
Sure what his bet was, and quite frankly, I don't care. But I think that his point is you had a moment. 5 o'clock. WFAN to represent the positive Met fan.
And I did. I did.
Tiki, do you think he did?
Yeah. He did. He was trying to.
We threw Evan off, who charts his entire life. That's all it was. We threw him a curveball. He doesn't like that, so now he's going to blast
me. I love the curveball. I thought it was great. I just think it sucked.
You didn't even react to anything I said because you were thrown off because it wasn't written down in your iPad.
I reacted to one thing you said because I agreed with it, and that was the Lindor stuff. But after that,
You wanted Sean to troll you so we could run that friggin' play for the 900th
time. I didn't want Sean to troll me. I wanted you to give me positivity. In fact, you know what? I can do a Cinco of the Evo of positivity.
You do one. All right, here we go. Here we go.
Here we go. All right, am I getting the numbers?
Here we go.
Number five.
Jose Quintana had a scoreless streak of 23-plus innings. Mm. He's also pitched in the playoffs before. 2 years ago in a wild card game, he pitched scoreless baseball against the eventual National League champion Phillies. Jose Quintana is a guy you should trust going into a winner-take-all game.
Number four.
Touchstone Friday.
That one? The bullpen is relatively fresh. What? Edwin Diaz hasn't pitched in 2 days. Jose Budo's now got a day. This is the freshest the bullpen has been since the rainouts. So, the bullpen.
Number three.
Pat Murphy's a moron. We saw it in game one. Like, look, they won game two, but does anybody think that Pat Murphy's going to Tony La Russa Carlos Mendoza here? He's going to Connie Mack Carlos Mendoza? He's going to Joe Torre Carlos Mendoza? Give me a freaking break. I don't trust Pat Murphy.
We get it. You know, legendary managers.
Okay, keep going.
Number two.
I want to agree with Tommy with number two. The team has earned our trust. They truly, truly have. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. What they did on Monday in that game against Atlanta, fighting back the way they did, they've earned it. They've teased us. They've made us question it.
Mm-hmm.
But they've responded at every freaking turn. And so ultimately, our trust should be with the Mets that they will find a way to respond to this.
Number one.
The Brewers. The Brewers? Front row, Amy? We're going to let them go to war with the city of Philadelphia? Really? Christian Yelich isn't even there. Their manager pulls their ace after 66 pitches. Milwaukee? We're going to allow the... No way. So, Tiki, what'd you think of my list?
Nah, it was better than Lugie's.
It was better than Lugie's?
Yeah, it's a little self-serving, but that's okay.
Which one, mine or his?
Yours.
How is it self-serving?
Because you're trying to make yourself feel good. I see the angst.
I didn't even mention myself. I know, I'm talking about the Mets. You want me to be positive.
I can feel the energy. You're trying to make yourself feel good.
But isn't that the whole point of positivity?
Yeah, of course.
It is hard to be more self-serving than Lugie.
I know. I never say anything about me. It was about this team. And I did knock the Brewers. I did do a little, like, dirty campaigning. Mm-hmm. I totally admit that.
So you don't respect teams from Wisconsin?
I never said that. When did I say that?
Are you saying you don't respect guys that can win championships in Wisconsin?
Am I not respecting a guy who won a championship because he used his giant foot to step on another guy's ankle? Yeah, I don't respect that.
I was more talking about your quarterback.
Oh, Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that. He's not in Milwaukee anymore. He's not in Green Bay anymore. He's in New York. Met fans, if my positivity did not work, or Lugie's positivity did not work, when we come back, I can guarantee to you, the voice that you will hear talking to us will work. So what I couldn't do and what Tommy couldn't do will be accomplished by somebody who definitely will. In about an hour and a half, the New York Mets are going to play a winner-take-all game. Now, all winner-take-all games are not created equal. There's Game 7 of the World Series. There's Game 7 of the NLCS.
Right.
There's Game 5 of the NLDS. And for the second time in Mets franchise history, third if you want to include the wild card game, they're about to play a winner-take-all game in a wild card scenario. And the man who will be calling it on the radio later tonight, the voice of the New York Mets, is Howie Rosen. He joins us right now, and Howie is brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Howie, how are you feeling an hour and a half before first pitch?
As though Bigelow cannot possibly come up with enough high-octane stuff for me. This has been one grueling road trip, so I need to be as caffeinated as possible. And if Cindy and Tim want to send a quick care package over here, I'll be happy to accept.
I like that. I'm interested, Howie. Like, before I call games, I kind of want to be chill because I know the game's going to get me excited. Maybe baseball's a little different because of the contact and the energy is a little different in baseball than it is in football. But how do you like to feel before you call a game? Anxious or chill?
You know, I'm really as interested in hearing from your vantage point as a former player because for me right now, I could take a nap. I really could.
Yeah.
And what are we? You said that we're an hour and a half or thereabouts until first pitch. And if you wake me up in about an hour and 20 minutes, I'll go brush my teeth, splash a little water on my face, and then it's just amazing how involuntarily the adrenaline takes
That's
over.
That's right.
And you're just good to go.
Howie,
and right now, it's hard for me to imagine getting from where I am now to there, but you've dealt with it.
Of course.
Same thing.
It's funny you say that because that's how I would be pregame. Like a lot of guys would, you know, listen to heavy metal or rap or whatever it is and get themselves all jacked up. I'm like, you're wasting emotional energy. I wanted to be taking a nap, like Howie was saying. I'd be in the back room reading the newspaper, kind of just dozing, and as soon as I got hit, it was on.
Well,
so it was a little bit different.
I will confess, as the years have passed, I think that's changed a little bit because I can remember in 1994 when I was doing the Rangers and they were on their way to the Stanley Cup, there were some games where I just, especially, I'll tell you what, Game 6 of the final was the game I had the opportunity to call the Cup winner in Vancouver. Marv did Game 5 and he was going to be able to do Game 7 at the Garden, but the entirety of the afternoon leading up to going to Pacific Coliseum in Vancouver for Game 7, I couldn't sit still. I was bouncing off the walls in the hotel room because, I mean, that was it. That was the ultimate game. Game 6 and, you know, maybe a Game 7. But for me, that Game 6, the opportunity to call a Cup winner, I was just a maniac that day. This is a wild card game. I'm saying, all right, just let me know when it starts. Let's go.
I like it. You know, as a fan, I remember 2 years ago having no confidence going into that winner-take-all game against San Diego. I remember in 2007. 2006, having a ton of confidence going into that Game 7 against the Cardinals. I'm very mixed about this one. Where's your confidence level that this ends well for the Mets tonight?
It's reasonably high because I don't see any huge advantage either way. I've learned that very rarely are there carryovers in playoff series. Every once in a while, you might see a team come to the ballpark the next day really stunned at what happened the night before, but I'd be lying if I said to you that I've seen anything different in the countenance and demeanor of the Mets today than I have at any other time this year. So I think their feelings internally and individually are, we've got this, and now let's see what happens.
Yeah, you know, we spent a lot of time today, Howie, talking about Pete Alonso, and I just wonder, seeing him as often as you have, do you see anything different in his approach, in his demeanor, in his, I don't know, his aura, because he hasn't had the success that I think a lot of people expected him to have this season.
Well, he hasn't. But, you know, I'm not in the clubhouse other than when we're allowed to be there. And guys, as you know, tend to put on their best faces in front of the media mm-hmm. if, in fact, there's anything simmering below the surface. The only thing I would say is that when I have been around Pete this year, and more so even lately, he seems a little more reserved. Now, I wouldn't read too much into that,
right?
But he's also human, and I've got to think that emotionally he's pressing a little bit. He has the specter of the contract hovering over his head, and also is involved in not only the last year of his contract trying to help his team win, but, you know, with every game where his performance doesn't measure up to where a lot of people would like to see it, offensively, sure, it's got to make him feel as though he's carrying extra weight on his shoulders, but one big swing at the right time changes everything.
No doubt.
So maybe tonight that swing happens.
I feel like they need it. I feel like they've overcome Pete not being the same Pete Alonso, especially over the last month where he struggled, and it feels inevitably if they're going to continue this run, they need him to be the old Pete Alonso.
And tonight would certainly be the time to do it because there's no other time if it doesn't go well tonight. But that's up to Pete, and it's up to the Brewers and how they pitch him and the situation in the game and everything else. But it's on the table for him, no question.
So managing a Game 5 in the case of Dodgers-Mets, NLDS, to me one of the greatest games I've seen as a fan. Unfortunately, I'm too young for the 86 run, 69 obviously. You have to manage with this urgency, but carefulness. And I thought Terry Collins did a brilliant job that night. I thought it was one of the great managerial jobs I've ever seen. How do you balance, if you're Mendoza, the urgency of the winner-take-all moment, but then also, I don't want to take Jose Quintana out five or six batters into a game. How do you balance the two if you're him?
Well, I think you've got to have a real read. And obviously, Jeremy Hefner is going to have a whole lot to say about a decision like that. But, you know, you obviously can't wait too long. You've got to err on the side of too early other than too late. And I think along those lines, if Quintana's in trouble early, the first guy up in the pen will be David Peterson. That's my feeling. That's not anything that Mendy told me. That's, I think, just common sense and logic given where they are right now. You have a day off. You can reset the pitching tomorrow if you are fortunate enough to get through this game. But it's one of those days and nights where it's, you know, as they say, Johnny Holstaff, and neither manager can afford to wait too late. In fact, don't be surprised if you see Freddy Peralta out there at some point in this game, too.
Yeah, how hard is it to manage a game knowing it's win or go home, but also and somewhere in your mind you have to be thinking about the first game of the next series?
Well, the only games that I've managed have been in Stratomatic, and even they haven't gone very well, so I'm probably not the greatest guy to ask, but I just think that both managers tonight have an air and have to of measured desperation. And I say measured because you can't do anything radically different than you've done if you don't think the pieces fit. For example, if you get David Peterson up during an inning when you think Quintana is wavering or faltering, then you've got a decision to make that may ask David to come into a situation that he's less than perfectly suited for. But again, the individual situations within the game at that moment dictate that you have to roll the dice. So I don't think there's going to be a lot of hesitation for either manager to make a bold move in this one. And, for example, that may include where the Mets use Edwin Diaz.
Yep.
Now, you know, they spent 26 pitches on Sunday, and I'll kind of cut the questions off about why in the world would they have used him Sunday in a meaningless game. They had to get him work.
I agree.
He hadn't pitched in a week.
Yep.
I think it got away from him a little bit, and they would not have scripted 26 as the ideal scenario. But you know what happened Monday? The fact that he was able to come back and close it out in the ninth inning after the near disaster of the eighth is certainly a feather in Edwin's cap. And so now that he's had 2 days off, now I think the question is, where do you use him? Depending on how the lineup is stacked up for Milwaukee in any particular inning, if it's the seventh or the eighth inning and the big boys are up and you think the game's on the line right there, then in my opinion, you've got to go with him there.
I agree.
And worry about the ninth inning later if you're fortunate enough to get there with a win. So I think they'll be creative, and I think they will be desperate at the same time.
And we've seen Mendy do that before. Buck certainly did it a lot the last 2 years of using Diaz in the eighth inning and then using someone else in the ninth. That's what I thought about a little bit last night. Would you have gone to Edwin Diaz in the eighth inning, even knowing he won't pitch the ninth?
Not really, no, because I think they were praying last night they wouldn't have to use him at all.
Mm.
That was one heavy workload on Sunday and Monday, the emotions notwithstanding,
sure,
which, you know, make them even more, as they say, stressful in terms of the number of pitches. But I think that last night, and I know a lot of fans don't like to hear this, but they didn't have to win that game last night. The Brewers did. And I think weighing that benefit, even if you think it's a risk, of not having gone to Diaz in a spot last night where maybe he could have gotten them through in the eighth inning, was the prudent thing to do, knowing that he had that extra day off leading up to tonight's game.
Well, we're talking to Howie Rose, who'll be calling the game in about an hour and 20 minutes. Game 3, Mets win, they go to Philly, Mets lose, the season ends. We've seen Mendy do this a lot, changing the lineup. He made a few more changes. Pete Alonso from 5 to 4. Iglesias goes from 2 to 5. Winker over JD. Your thoughts on the lineup he's constructed for Game 3?
Asking him about it a little while ago, he wanted Iglesias where he is tonight because he wants contact there in the middle of the lineup. Now, they've got a couple of righties in Alonso and Iglesias back-to-back, hoping the left-handed hitter Winker can provide a little bit of in protection, if you will. But I think that even if, let's say, Pat Murphy were to go get a lefty and he's got three of them available in the bullpen to face Winker, obviously the chance there is to flip Winker for Martinez. But do you know what the two of them are together? And they've both had big hits in this series.
Yeah.
But between the two of them, Winker 4 for 45, Martinez 4 for 48.
Mm-hmm.
They are 8 for 93 combined, so it's like just throwing a, you know, a blind dart up at the board and hoping you hit somewhere close.
All right, so we're a little bit away from the start of this game, a little under 2 hours. What's your gut? Like, how do you feel this team feels?
Oh, I think they feel fine, and frankly, I think they'll be fine. I expect them to win tonight. I honestly do. I think reading where this season has gone, they have the confidence in having won so many pivotal games, games where it looked like they were on the ropes. I don't even mean within that game, but I mean in the standings. Remember that game where Edwin Diaz gave up the grand slam in Arizona, heartbreaking game? They wound up falling 4 games back of that last wild card spot. Right around then. And if ever there was a time when it was going to collapse like a house of cards, that would have been it. But they came back and they won the next day, and it was Diaz who got the save less than 24 hours later. That was the biggest lesson, I think, that we had during the regular season, at least leading up to game number 163, about what I think is an innate resiliency that this team has. Where that comes from, I don't know. Comes from all of them, I guess. But it's been a hallmark of this team this year. So to me, just looking at that entire body of work, what happened in the eighth inning last night happened, and that's you turn the page. And that's why I expect they'll be fine tonight. Now, you know, stuff happens within the course of a game that, you know, is sometimes odd, unpredictable, in some ways even unprecedented. But if you're backing me into a corner, I expect them to win tonight.
I feel better. See, that made me, all I needed was Howie Rose to say, you know what, I feel decent about tonight, and now I'm going to start to try to feel decent
Howie
about tonight.
Howie Evan was starting to get a little anxious.
Yes.
I understand. I understand. But you know what? Again, you know, we talk about the nervousness and the butterflies, and believe me, they'll be there by the first pitch. But when you've lived through what we lived through in 1986, never mind 1969, which I was fortunate enough to have enjoyed more than anything that I've enjoyed in sports in my life, along with the 94 Stanley Cup run, it took a lot to get there. This is chill, you know? This is a wild card round. And if they get past this tonight, let me tell you something. They have never played a playoff series against the Philadelphia Phillies. That will be sick. If it comes down to Mets and Phillies, never mind that it's the division series. Mets and Phillies, if I can use an expression today, especially on the second night of Rosh Hashanah, oh yeah, bro.
It's amazing because you're not, obviously they've never played in the playoffs like you said. Other than the race of 07 and 08, they've never really even had like that many pennant races over the years. It's odd. They're like two ships into the night. And for them to have a best-of-five series, you're right, it would be insane.
That's exactly what I would anticipate it being. And obviously, they've got to get through tonight first. But that's an interesting next few days shaping up if they can do it.
Let's hope they get there. Have a good call tonight, Howie. We appreciate you giving us a few minutes.
Thank you,
Thanks,
Howie.
Guys. My pleasure.
The great Howie Rose, presented by Bigelow Tea. Grab a mug and tea proudly. He'll be calling the game here on the Mets Odyssey Radio Network, the first pitch. A little after 7 o'clock, I know a lot of Met fans are going to listen. You want to know why? Because they don't want to hear Doug Glanville and Boog Sciambi. So you can mute the TV and listen to Howie and Keith do an outstanding job calling this winner-take-all Game 3.